If you ever get to listen to any Episcopalian saying that loving our neighbors as ourselves is something easy to do, please feel free to ask this question to this person. Why then we confess our failure to do so, loving our neighbors as ourselves, at most Sunday services throughout the liturgical calendar year? Because that's what we do. And this is what we do, among other things, standing or kneeling, we recite the confession of sins. And we confess that we haven't loved God with our whole heart. We also confess that we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. Today's gospel is a reminder to us of our obligation to continue striving to bring our love for others to the same measure of the love we have for ourselves. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus, the gospel says. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you shall live." You know, I think the lawyer should just leave the scene right then, walk away, and get back to his regular routine. But he didn't. He wanted to show himself as a righteous person, and he wanted to feel good about himself. Instead of leaving the place, he came back to Jesus with another question. "And who is my neighbor?" It is this second question that prompted Jesus to tell the story of the Good Samaritan that we just heard. Those of you who were here 2 Sundays ago or heard my sermon online will remember that I mentioned the parable of the Good Samaritan a couple of times. So just to connect you with my last sermon, I am quoting one of the paragraphs I wrote. One of the things we can conclude from the story of the Good Samaritan is that Jesus is particularly interested in asking his listeners to analyze what should be done when the neighbor is a total stranger and is at a disadvantage. When the neighbor is someone who does not look like us, dresses like us, talks like us, or simply does not seem to be from where we are, that is to say, from our neighborhood or our background. The parable of the Good Samaritan mentions that 3 men came passing by the place where the beaten man was left after being robbed. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Out of the 3 of them, the Samaritan is the one who stood up for the fallen one and showed him mercy and compassion. The other 2 didn't. The priest and the Levite moved to the other side of the road instead and passed by him. So, what is the point Jesus is trying to make in this parable? To highlight what an alien with a good heart can do? Or to encourage people to set aside their fears and indifferences and to do good whether we know or don't know those who are in need? You know, for a long time, I had the tendency to focus so much in the good actions of the good Samaritan, that oftentimes I neglected to pay attention to the attitude of the priest and the Levite in this story. The fact is that the good Samaritan is, for many of us, everything we want to be as Christians. But what happens when we cannot afford to stay on the same sidewalk where the needed, the neglected, and the marginalized are? Or when we cannot identify with their pain and their suffering? Or simply, when we cannot even imagine walking in their shoes? The simple answer to this question is, this is when we embody in our own lives the priest and Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan. And when we detach ourselves from the struggle of others and lose sight of humanity. It happens when we cannot relate to them because we have become indifferent. We have forgotten where we come from, or we are too scared. Relating to people in need makes a huge difference in how we treat them and how we connect with them. Maybe this is what makes the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan in the story of the Gospel of Luke we just heard. The Good Samaritan could relate to the man laying on the sidewalk because as a stranger himself, he has been there in one way or the other. Now, allow me to tell you a couple short stories about how relating to others may help to change our perceptions. It is the second day of the trip Michael and Melissa Jacobs, Sterling Minor, and I took to McAllen. After being inside the center for a couple of hours, I decided to step outside. I think I wanted to put my thoughts in order or to get some air. Maybe I was overwhelmed with all that was going on inside the center. Children all over the places, adults lining up to get the services they needed, volunteers walking up and down the place trying to attend everybody needs, a voice on the speaker calling people by names or offering instructions about buses' departure times. While standing outside, I saw James Morrison, the journalist from 1A NPR, who made the trip with us. He came exiting the center doors in a rush. He was in tears, and he could barely breathe. I asked him what happened. He explained it to me. We spoke for a few minutes, and then he went back inside the center to continue doing his work. Before sitting to write this sermon, I reached out to James over the phone and told him I was preaching today. And I wanted to share his experience at the Respite Center with this congregation, and he wrote me a couple of lines and also gave me permission to share them with you. So this is, in his own words, how James described what happened to him. And I quote, "I usually distance myself from becoming emotionally attached to the people involved with my work. But at the respite center, I saw a young girl, probably 5 or 6 years old, who was hugging a stuffed bear a volunteer had just given her. She was smiling, and I could tell she was really happy. She reminded me of my 6-year-old niece, and I immediately felt myself in the situation of her parents. I understood why they were enduring so much suffering to come to the United States for their children And I felt terrible for how our country was treating them. End of the quote. On day two of his trip to McAllen, our own Michael Jacob called me on my cell phone. He was eager to share with me what he and Melissa were experiencing at the respite center, where they decided to go and see firsthand what they were listening in the news about the families just being released from the detention center in the southern borders, coming in mass, seeking assistance at the respite centers of McAllen and Brownsville. During our phone conversation, I noticed that Michael's voice started breaking, and it changed from excitement to sadness. I knew he was breaking in tears. I soon learned from Michael that seeing these children with their parents at the centers made him reflect on the experience lived by his grandparents when they arrived in this country. Michael gave me permission to share his own words describing why this whole thing touches him so deeply. And I quote, 2 weeks ago, I set out from Houston on my second trip to Catholic Charities at McAllen Humanitarian Respite Center to help the immigrants who had just come over the border and were being released into the community by immigration authorities. I had just been there 6 weeks ago. On the drive to McAllen, I was asked, Michael, why are you making this second trip? This question brought me to tears, said Michael, because what I had seen 6 weeks before in McAllen happened to my own grandparents. As young children, themselves coming to America in the early 90s, sent by their parents to escape religious persecution, the bus arriving and immigrants disembarking, standing in line, waiting to be processed. Wasn't that the same grandparents' experience, my grandparents' experience more than 100 years ago? They had just disembarked from their series class weeks-long journey across the ocean from Europe, and we're now standing in line in America among the masses of people, hot, sweaty, and exhausted adults holding children in their arms or by the hand, standing in line for clean clothes, a meal, a shower, speaking not the language of their country, but another language. Wasn't that the same as my grandparents standing in line speaking Yiddish? That is what brought me to tears as I explained it while I was going to McAllen on a second trip. End of the quote. My sisters and brothers, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus concluded the story asking the lawyer who wanted to put him at test one question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed him mercy, the lawyer answered. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. I interpret the last words of Jesus in this story as go. Find what connects and relates you with others, especially those who are at a disadvantage. Imagine what it's like walking in their shoes. Walk with them and don't allow fear and indifference make you look to the other side or change of the sidewalk. Meet them where they are. Tend the wounded. Heal the sick. And feed the hungry. Amen.